Paul, thanks for joining us.
No, Sean, thank you for having me on your program.
Now, just to get everybody up to date, the recommendations of this investigation that the Premier is referring back to, could you give us perhaps a snapshot of what those were?
Well, firstly, let me say I'm grateful for you using the term correct terminology, euthanasia and assisted suicide. Unfortunately, the Victorian government has chosen to hide their recommendations behind the euphemism of assisted dying, which is very unfortunate because I think it doesn't support a good conversation in the public, put it that way. But the report's basically come out with a recommendation for assisted suicide. It also has said that for people who qualify under the regime, who perhaps for some reason cannot ingest a substance themselves, that the doctor will be able to take action to end their lives, in other words, euthanasia. They're talking about a maximum of 12 months qualifying. So if someone has been diagnosed and the prognosis is that they have 12 months or less to live, they could well qualify under this regime.
Now, I understand this affects a fairly small number of patients. The amount of patients that are actually talking about which would qualify under assisted suicide would be a fairly small number in Australia each year.
I'm not entirely sure that we can actually say that. I think there are some indications that might point in that direction. But I think we have to remember also that when we talk about a prognosis of less than 12 months to live, that's given subject to the person not taking on any therapies or remedial medical procedures. So we could be talking about people that may have years to live if, in fact, they undertake chemotherapy or radiotherapy or some such other treatments. So it's not necessarily as small as they suggest, I think.
So coming from your perspective, Paul, what are your main oppositions to legalising euthanasia, to the kind of push that the Victorian Premier is actually making?
Well, Sean, I think firstly I'd always go back to the very basics of the question, and that is euthanasia by its own very definition is an act of one person killing another. And assisted suicide is an act of actually supporting someone to kill themselves. Both are prohibited under all state laws and federal laws across our country. And I don't think that Australians by and large want to see anybody, let alone doctors, killing each other or helping people to suicide. And if you look at it from that framework, I think there is a clear moral argument. I'm not saying a religious argument, but a moral argument that we shouldn't go there. Further, I think when you start to look at what it really means, there are some very telling observations, I think, and that is that if you have someone who asks for euthanasia-assisted suicide, they're in a distressed situation. Clearly, they may well be suffering pain, but more often than not, according to the statistics from Oregon in particular, they're not actually suffering pain at all. They're feeling like they're a burden. They're feeling like they're likely to lose their ability to do the things they enjoy doing. These are sort of existential fears that actually populate the data more often than not, and pain is well down on the scale. So we have a situation where effectively a doctor in reply to a question like that would be tacitly agreeing that that person's life was considered not worth living. Now, in bringing in a small but nonetheless, I think, potent argument in that respect is a lot of people in the disability community voice those concerns that quite often if they were feeling suicidal or having problems of that nature going to a doctor, that a doctor may well reply and say, well, I understand why you feel that way. You've got a horrible life. And so there is a sense that we're reinforcing these negative memes that are already there in our society. We know, for example, that many older people, and your introduction covered this quite well, I think, many older people actually do feel like they're a burden on their family members. And we have adverts on our television for funeral insurance, for example, that uses those exact words. We don't want to be a burden. Well, what does that tell people? They are a burden. We do have an aging population. Our elderly citizens are concerned about this. And to me, it's a very worrying sign that we should seek in law to endorse those kind of thoughts.
I think it's really intriguing, one of the points you brought up there, Paul, and because obviously religion does get rolled out as a reasoning against euthanasia quite a bit. And yet, it's not necessarily religion that we should be would be pointing the finger at, as it were, as the sole and total opposition to the idea of assisted suicide. To my perspective, it kind of seems like a balance between what do you value more? Is it life or is it liberty? As you quite rightly pointed out before, people are able to reject treatments that would extend their life. They are able to make the decision for themselves, no, I don't want this treatment. I would prefer to live out what days I have rather than extend it through this medicine. So I guess the real debate to me comes down to life or liberty. Do we value life itself, or do we value people's choice? What do you make of that argument?
Well, that's really quite a perceptive comment you made. Liberty in all things, yes, but there are limits on liberty. We're not in the freedoms that we enjoy in our society are not unfettered. We have laws that govern all sorts of things for what's known as the common good. And I think in this circumstance, we should be looking to give people as much choice as possible at the end of their lives, certainly. But that once that choice falls over the natural divide and becomes something that would inherently put other people's lives at risk, I don't think we have any right society to go there. I think it is a very much a human rights issue. I am a religious person, but all of the arguments that I make and certainly all of my colleagues will make will be based on the principles of a common good and the debt that we owe to each other in society to not act in ways that jeopardise other people's freedoms.
And just perhaps as a final point, Paul, just your take on it. You've mentioned a couple of times this kind of unfortunate issue that we see elderly people suffering from these conditions, disabled people suffering from these conditions, seeing themselves as a burden. If we stay away from the euthanasia debate, what kind of policies would you like to see to address those issues that Australia is facing more and more with an ageing population?
Look, I think there are some very serious concerns. The Australian Law Reform Commission came down with a major report from a study they conducted well over a year recently that focused on this problem with elder abuse. The huge problem with elder abuse is that it is a hidden epidemic. They say up to 14% of Australians over the age of 60 may well be suffering some form of abuse. So there is, I think, developing now a national strategy to try and deal with that, to try and make the public aware of the possibility that someone they know may in fact be being abused by usually a relative, etc. So I think that's a step in the right direction. I think there are gaps in our palliative care services, particularly in aged care facilities at the moment. I understand, and I think it's entirely understandable, that many older people therefore feel that the last place they would want to spend their final years or days would be perhaps in a nursing home. I think we owe a debt of gratitude to our elders to do something about that, to somehow arrest that and give people the confidence that they're not a burden on society. So you're right, apart from the whole question of euthanasia, I think we have these pressing problems that, for me, say loudly, look, we just should not be going there right now. And certainly people in the disability community, I remember a comment, and I'm paraphrasing, from the late, great Stella Young, a disabled comedian from here in Victoria, when she said, you know, give us life with dignity before you give us death with dignity. Now, that's a trajectory that I think Australia is largely on now with the national, with the NDIS scheme. But it's a long way off. There's a lot of prejudice in our society. I've experienced that personally. I have a son with a disability. You do see it. It's not necessarily there all the time, but it's there. And I think as a society, I think we've perhaps become a little bit more fractured than we're willing to admit. I don't know what the remedy is, but I think certainly there needs to be some work done in the sphere of civics to reinforce the fact that, you know, we do live in a society. We have to take account for our neighbour, and we have to act appropriately.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one this morning.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you very much.